Here we left one very, very small part of the previous sugya. I know we've been spending the last few weeks of the previous sugya, but just one last shiraya with the last sugya before we'll branch out to our new sugya for tonight. So just to recap really, really quickly, we were talking about the issue of being yotzei matzah, with matzah that happens to be an aveira, to eat it. So the Tosfos quoted the whole sugya Maseches Pesachim about matzah shel tevel. So basically, when all the dust settled from the whole sugya, there came out to be almost three different approaches in the Rishon of what the bottom line was. There was some Rishonim who said that Inochanam Yitecha can be Yotzei. That really, really truly you can be Yotzei. And all those Gemaras, Rishonim Kaloch and Issach HaLisser and all that stuff that we spoke about last week. So there was one group of Rishonim, the Rabban, quotes a possibility, maybe in Achrei Klosikal you can be Yotzei. And then we saw other Rishonim who said, no, you can't be Yotzei. Now within those Rishonim who said you can't be Yotzei, there was a further breakdown, why not? Either the reason was because of Mitzvah of Yaveira, that was one whole group of Rishonim, and the other group of Rishonim said, no, Mitzvah Aveira is going to fail us here for whatever technical reasons, the Rabbana, not Ritzui, a half dozen reasons why Mitzvah Aveira doesn't apply. But the real reason why you can't be Yotzei is because of Gzer Sakosov. And the Gzer Sakosov is Yotzei Zeh, She'eni Sur Mishul Baltach HaChomet, Al Mishul Baltach HaTevel. And again, that touched on all the issues of Ein Nesachalis that we spent so much time on last week. So, Lamaisa, three possibilities. Either you are Yotzei or you're not Yotzei. If you're not Yotzei, one of two reasons. Does it really make much of a difference why you wouldn't be Yotzei? If you're willing to subscribe to the view that you're in fact not Yotzei, does it make much of a difference whether you're not Yotzei because of a Pasuk or Yotzei because of Mitzvah Aveira? So the Sheikh Asari thought it may make a difference. Sheikh Asari threw out the following question. He said, what would the din be if you have not matzah shel tevel, but you have maror shel tevel? What would the din be? Can a person fulfill the mitzvah of maror with maror shel tevel? So before reading the Sheikh Asari, if I were to ask most people, myself included, why do you think that depends on? What do you think the din would be? So I would have probably said as follows. I would have said that, well, it depends. Depends why matzah is a problem. If matzah is a problem because of mitzvah babi aveira, so it's not a psul matzah per se, it's a, what we would call, and now lomdish in terms of din klali, it's a generalized statement that could equally apply to maror as well as to matzah. So if you're going down the route of mitzvah babi aveira, it would probably carry over, it would probably spill over. But if you only said din prati, it's a localized din matzah based on a pasuk, based on exerce kosov, you can't, what gives you right to extend the exerce kosov to other mitzvahs? Matzah luchot, maror luchot. So mehechet they say that the psul should carry over. So if you would have asked me, that's what I would have for sure said. That's what they didn't ask me. That's what they asked the Sheikh Asari. Sheikh Asari said, everything I just said in the last 30 seconds is the exact opposite. Mamash nafichu. Says the Sheikh Asari, if you think the problem is mitzvah babi aveira by matzah, then I can make your case where maror is okay. And if you think it's exerce kosov problem, then I'll make your case where maror is no good. Mamash counterintuitive, the exact opposite of what we would have thought. What's the pshat? So says the Sheikh Asari, very, very simple. Two parts of the calculation. So he fills us in on two pieces of information. One that we already know a little bit about, and one we may not be familiar with yet. So comes the Sheikh Asari and says, let's play the game of mitzvah aveira for a second. Let's say that there are no psukim here, there's no drushes here, so we're just looking at tevel through the eyes of mitzvah aveira, and we're willing to apply that din to matzah. Is there a reason to be machat in matzah and maror? Absolutely there is. You know why? The Gemara of Machloek is here in Sukkot Daf Lamed. The Pasul Mishmitzvah Beveira after the first day. So we weren't quite sure what the Machloek is was. So Tosis, that little tiny Tosis, the bottom of Ramadan, Tosis says, Hachadav Kishubid Dirabodon Luchai Shemitzvah Beveira. The reason why Shmuel ignored Mitzvah Beveira, not because he ignored it entirely, he ignored it by mitzvahs derabbanan. By mitzvahs derabbanan, no. Lishkefelcha. We have a lot of kulas by mitzvahs derabbanan. This is one of the many kulas. So the Sheikh Asari, if you're willing to go down Shmuel's route, which in fact some of you are actually paskin like Shmuel, that mitzvah aveira really truly doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabbanan. If that's the case, so then there's a tremendous distinction between matzah and maror. Matzah is banan says derais, and maror is not. The Gemara in the end of Pesachim says that maror is dependent upon Korban Pesach. Matzah is not. And therefore, matzah is banan says derais, and maror is derabbanan. So it's a good svar v'chalik between deraises versus derabbanan, vis-a-vis mitzvah aveira. But what if you go down the other route? What if you go down the route that's exerce akosov? So we thought, exerce akosov, nah, that's not relevant to maror. Not so fast as the Sheikh Asari. There's a Gemara in the second Berakha Pesachim that talks about another din prati by matzah, a localized special psul by matzah. What is that psul? The Gemara talks about matzah shel ma'aser sheni. The ma'aser sheni, there's no aveira, provided you're eating in Yerushalayim. It's okay. You don't even have to be a kohen for that. As long as you have a kedusha petara, eating in Yerushalayim, petara, that's perfectly okay. So the guy sits down to a seder, he He's sitting in the old city, and he's sitting, he's consuming his matzah, which is matzah by the Sheni. What could be wrong? So, in fact, half the Torah say nothing's wrong. It's perfectly okay. And Rabbi Yosef really says, no, there's a problem. You know what the problem is? He says, b'chol moshvo seichem tochlo matzos, a special exercise of course of yotzah by the Sheni, she'enom nechal b'chol moshavos. B'chol moshvo seichem means you have to eat matzah that could be consumed no matter where you are. A regular matzahs. I go to the store, I buy my shots of matzahs. I could eat them in Yerushalayim, I could eat them in Bnei Brak, in Tel Aviv, in Eilat, even Bergenfeld. There's no limitation where I eat them. Al zeh ne'amar teichlo matzahs. Matzahs shabbos sheni cannot be in b'chol moshavos. It's asur l'atoyel l'sucha lechol b'sha'arecha. You're not allowed to eat b'chol sheni outside Yerushalayim. So therefore, that's a chisaron. It's felt as a chisaron in b'chol moshavos teichlo teichlo matzahs. Now, two to be told. Other tanoim behold, they don't accept that drasha. They're not gurus that drasha. But some Tanoim are. Comes the Gemara with a startling statement. Comes the Gemara and Sefer Pesachim and says, according to Biyosei Glili, who disqualifies Matzah Shemai Sasheni, he would equally disqualify Maror Shemai Sasheni. It doesn't say, B'chom Moshlech Tochum Marorchem. What's the answer? Al Matzah Semarom Yechlu Hukshumar Matzah. That the two go hand in hand. When does the psul prati, as strange as this may sound, when does the din prati in Matzah, all the din prati in Matzah, never chastach, we have to carry it over tomorrow. That's the Gzeser custom. If it's possible in matzah, then it's possible in morrow. Says the Shagasai, that's only true when there's a psul matzah. When the name of the game is a psul and matzah, then psul and matzah carry over, borrowed over tomorrow, Gzeser custom, don't ask any cashes. So just as the psul of Maisa Sheini, according to Biyosei Glili, is carried over, the psul of Tevel, to those Rishonim, is carried over as well. But if you want to disqualify matzah because of mitzvah b'aveira, that's not a psul and matzah. That's a din klali. That's a din of kol tarkula. So you have to go down the regular rules. Of shiur the name. Maybe mitzvah b'aveira applies. Maybe it doesn't. So one amar in the Gemara says the rice is yet, the abundance no. So good. So tomorrow taka fall short. So it's mamish counterintuitive to what we would have thought. That was just the icing on the cake from the end of last.
But the gezeira sakasav should also only apply to mara the rice, not tomorrow nowadays.
No, so then you could argue that the thing the Rabbanu was made, called the Tikkun Rabbanu, we don't have any reason to doubt that comparison. Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, that was just the end of last week's year.
Could that pasuk have also asserted matzah for that same reason? Because you can't travel anywhere.
It's not Nechal B'chol Moshavos because it can't be Nechal anyway.
Right.
Interesting. I mean, the truth to be told is that we're not even sure we even pass like that drasha. You're right. It's an interesting idea. That's almost like Yesh B'chol Masai Mona. Maybe. I don't know what to think about that. So let's now begin the next sugya. And again, it's hard to say with a straight face the next sugya because the next sugya is the Gemara is beginning to elaborate upon Mitzvah B'Aveira, but it's not really the Mitzvah B'Aveira part of the sugya. It's really going back to the source. How we knew in the first place there is a psul of mitzvah b'aveira, and we got it, if you remember back from a pasuk in the Navi Malachi, but it's the very unique presentation that the Navi gives as to be the source for this halacha that becomes really sets the stage for the next sugya. So let's take a look at the bottom of Kotes of the days, where the Gemara first introduces us that pasuk in Malachi as the source for mitzvah b'aveira and begin to identify what some of the difficulties, what some of the problems of that source are. So Rabbi Yochanan, the bottom line of the testimony, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Mishum and Yochanan. Mishum Davle Mitzvah Bavya Veira, the reason why the Lulav Hagazel is possible after the first day, because it's a very Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vesem Gozel Vesapiseach Vesachola. That's all the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says you can't bring the following animals for Karbonos, stolen goods and the crippled goods and the sick goods, all these terrible animals can't be brought as Karbonos. So now the Gemara begins to darsh in the Pasuk. As we already mentioned a couple of weeks ago, this is a very, very tricky Gemara because we're not quite sure that this pasuk is really the source in the first place. We're not even sure that we're dealing with the Din Deraisa because it's a pasuk in Novi, not a pasuk in Chumash. So half the Rishonim would say, yeah, the Gemara is really taking this pasuk apart and literally because some of this is serving as a real Derasha Deraisa. And others would say, the whole thing's Derabon anyway, but no matter how you slice it, the Gemara is taking the pasukim literally. The Gemara is taking this Derasha very, very seriously, either on a level of Deraisa or at some kind of a lower level of Asmachta. So where's the following observation about this pasuk? Gozel dumya de piseach. Ma piseach leis le takanto. Av gozel leis le takanto. The word piseach conjures up an image of somebody who is mamish, crippled, somebody who will never be able to walk again. So just as the word piseach has that connotation, that it's irreversible, so too, gezeila is also irreversible. The pasuk is saying, if it's stolen, if you stole that animal, forget about ever bringing it. So nothing could presumably ever happen to this animal that will enable you to bring it as a carbon again. That's what the mashmos of this drusha slash asmacht, whatever you want to call it, is. So the Gemara says, what would that mean? What's the significance of saying that this carbon is irreversibly pasul? Nothing could change. Lo shel lefnei yush, v'lo shel l'achar yush. It doesn't matter whether the original owner ever gave up hope. This is the first time we're being introduced, at least in Sukkah, the concept of Yush. We've probably been introduced to it back in 7th grade, and in Yush Lamedas a little bit, we've heard of it before. But Yush, the concept of the owner giving up hope, so the Gemara says it doesn't matter what happens. If I stole a sheep from you, whether you subsequently give up hope or don't give up hope, the carbon's off limits. That's what the Pasuk's saying. So the Gemara begins to analyze, why should that be? So I understand, Bishlam Lefnei Yush, I understand if I steal a sheep from you, and you still screaming, it's my sheep, you're not Messiah, should I give you a vote with the sheep? And then I want to come here, and Baruch Abu, come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it as a carbon. So I understand, but that's no good. Adam ki yakam yikemam rachman v'labdi deyu. It's not my sheep. It doesn't belong to me. I stole something from you. It's still the other fellow's. He hasn't done anything to lose his ownership. He hasn't been Messiah. Keep that in mind. He hasn't been Messiah. Therefore, he hasn't done anything to lose his ownership. Eliyacha Yush. But if Yush already took place, so wait a second, says the Gemara. How can you be Yush? The Goslin was coming already. The Goslin acquired it already. It belongs to the Goslin now. Now, that doesn't mean to say that he doesn't have to pay for it. That's going to be a whole other part of the discussion. But the Cheftza, the object of stolen goods, he was Kona it. Through what vehicle was he Kona it? Simply through Yush. So those are the three magic words of the Gemara. Ha Kanye Biyush. Keep those words in the back burner. Ha Kanye Biyush. The Gazlan was clearly Kona Biyush. The Afa Pichain, the Navi Malachi, is telling us that it can't be brought as a carbon. Why not? What's the problem? It's Adam Ki Yakar Bikelam Rahman. It belongs to him. Why can't he bring it as a carbon? The answer must be, it must be that the only way to explain why Yush, which is normally effective to transfer ownership on a Chayfetz HaGozel, is going to fall short here, is even though it does belong to the Gazlan, it's Adam Jacob Mikemon Rachamana, Fiafa Bechain, it's possible, and the external clue must be, we'll call it a name, we'll call it Mitzvah B'Yadayim. At Kanti V'Yagim. So the Gemara's hope proof, whole source, all of it's everything we've been talking about for the last month and hopefully talking about for the next couple of weeks or so, is all hinging upon the truth of this drasha, the assumption of this drasha. The assumption of this drasha, the three most pivotal words, the three most significant words in this last shakratai in the Gemara are those three words, Hakanya Biyush. If that's wrong, so then the whole thing just unraveled.
But it sounds like only Gazel is Asur. They take Mitzvah on any Aveira.
Oh, so that's right. Very good. That's right. Very good. The Pasuk is actually talking about Gazel, and now we're using that as a springboard. Like Tosus already used it as a springboard for Tevel and other things. You're right. We're using it as a springboard for other Aveiras as well. That is 100% correct. But we're not even sure we identified it properly by Gazela, because it's only as true as those three words are Hakani Biyush. So, are those facts right? Is that true? Forget about Sukkah Daflami. Is that true? I steal something from you and you give up hope. So I was Kona, and now it's mine? I don't have to return it anymore? Really? Is that true? So Rashi is quick to the rescue. So Rashi says, let me tell you, says Rashi, Afgozel, so the third line of Rashi, Afgozel, Yafira Nina de Eina Takana Le'achazman, that the Navi is describing the fact that the Psul is here forever. Even if Yush happened, now Rashi feels compelled to explain to what does Yush mean. The Shamina Lamari de Miyash. We heard the Bailam give up hope. For Omar, Vailam the Chazon Kiss. The Rashi didn't make up that phrase. He took it right out of the Gemara Neil Matthias. That the person said, oh, woe to me that I lost my animal. Woe to me that somebody stole my animal. And I'm never going to get it anymore. Now Rashi is quick to point out, V'yafa gaf, even though we all know, even though it's like given, Rashi says, that's like common knowledge. We'll see how uncommon knowledge it is in a moment. But it's almost like common knowledge, that a gazler, a ganav, is kind of biyush, the havididei, and if he's kona the object, that it's his, even though he has to pay for it. Okay, pay for it, that's something else. But the cheft to the object belongs to the gazlan. And nevertheless, the Navi still says you can't bring it. You see from here, there must be a katzak or mitzvah there. So once again, Rashi just flushed out the sugya, and he actually referenced the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma. So let's check on some of the references. Let's check on some of the Gemara's Bava Kamma. What do the Gemara's say and what they don't say? Are those facts right? Is Yush koina or is Yush not koina? So let's begin with a sugya in Bava Kamma. And although Rashi does quote the Samaches, we're going to jump the gun a little bit, because although the sugya does appear a little bit in the Samaches, I mean, Rashi doesn't quote Samaches because the Dafim didn't exist in Rashi's day. They were put in by the printers 100 years later. But even if we'll give the printer the benefit of the doubt that Rashi was referencing Samaches, the sugya appears, starts a little bit early. It appears in a few places in the room, but we're going to start it where it really, really starts. But to get them really to highlight the sugya in its totality. So let's take a look at the comment of some of Vavam and Aleph, actually, and get a little bit of an inkling whether this statement is true, because again, all of its Aveir is hinging upon the truth of the statement. So let's take a look at Amar Rabba. It's about, not quite halfway down, but it says in the margin, the Yikra Hay. Amar Rabba, the first one is Achshav. Amar Rabba, Shinei Kaina. I'm not even talking about Yusha. The Rabbah says that if you steal an object and you're mishana the object, you change the object. What are some examples? The Gemara is going to give you an example in a moment about a person stole wood and then turns the wood into a table. So guess what? Rabbah tells us the gazlan or the galav is koine b'shinoi. What that means practically is he need not return the wooden table anymore. He could keep the table because the wood already underwent a change, a physical change. But what Maisi has to pay, that's a given, that's poshut, he has to pay. What does he pay? He pays for the wood that he stole. So he gets to keep the object. Unlike if he stole something that he was not mishana, let's say he stole a piece of wood and the wood is sitting in his backyard and he hasn't done anything to it yet, then when he's caught, the Hashem's exertion goes, and then you have to return the object itself. He can't say, it's mine. So shini is kind. That's a chiddush. So how did Rabbah know that that's true, Rabbah? Shini kind of ksivo tanina. He says, first of all, it's a pasuk, and it's a mishnah to support it as well. Ksiva, what's the source of chumash for shini kainet? The heish v'zegzela, asher gozal. The Torah says in Parshas V'yikra, you have to return the stolen object that you stole. Now that phrase is a little bit redundant. If it's v'heish v'zegzela, that means you stole it. So why the need for asher gozal? So that, the Torah Shabbat Peh picks up on this and says, ma ta b'dlom asher gozal. What's the significance of the second phrase? Im ke ein shagozol yachzir, you love, don't be amaboy shalumei, that if the item is still asher gozol is being read almost like kasher gozol, if it's around, it's in the same state that it was when you stole it, so then we say that you have to return it, but if it's changed, it's not the same way it was a week ago when you stole it, then it's yours to keep, and you just really have to pay cash for it. So that's the source for shinui koine in terms of psukim. Now, truth to be told, not everyone agrees to Rabbah's statement. It's actually the Gemara beginning of the ninth parak, where the Gemara lines up a whole group of tanoim that may not buy into this. Now, halachah, we have to pasuk like Rabbah shinui is koine in the Torah, but there are tanoim who deny it. There are tanoim who say that's not what the pasuk means. That shagazol is a different drash, a whole story, a whole sugya of the ninth parak of Bava Kamma. But we're going to take Rabbah now, which is the way we accept the halachah, that shinui is yes koine. And then Rabbah says, not only is it a pasuk, but I'll bring you a source on tonight. It's a mishnah in the beginning of the ninth parak. Haglazel eitz of yasod kalim. If I steal wood, make it into furniture. Tsev of yasod begad. If I steal wool, make it into clothing. Misham kishasek zela. I just simply pay you the value of what the wool or the wood was at the time of stealing, and call it a day. I get to keep the item. And then he brings another mishnah from the Sefer Chul. We'll leave out the details right now. Amar shini koine. Bottom line is, Rabbah proved what he thought was beyond the shadow of a doubt. Pesuk in mishnayis shini is koine.
You pay for the wood, or you pay for the value of the object?
No, you only pay for the stole. So whatever wood went for at the time of the theft, that's what you pay. So if a piece of wood went for $100 6 weeks ago when I stole it, I give you $100 in cash. That's
even though the table could be
worth $1 million now, right? It doesn't matter. Right? So this just set the stage for our topic. Rabbi just set down the rules. Shinya's going to. But Yush, now Rabbah begins to say, wait a second, Yush is not Shinui. Yush means, I stole your wood, nothing's happened to the wood. The wood is sitting exactly where I left it 6 weeks ago after I stole it. But in the interim, you were misyayish. You figured, you know what, I'm never going to find this guy. I'm going to find the God. And the Bain's never going to help me. Forget, it's not even worth it anymore. And you just gave up. You know, Nebuch, your wallet was stolen 6 months. Come on, violent chesed and kiss. Finish, I'm never going to see it again. So comes, Robin says, Yush, I'm a Rabbanim de Nikne. Says Rabbah, we all know, all the Rabbanim know that Yush is Koine. So what's the Shiloh? Me, who says Rabbah, Lo yadinan idiraisi idirabon. Says Rabbah, we're just not quite sure where the source of Yush Koine. So Shini Koine, we pin that on a pasuk. That's a din deraisa. Yush, we don't know. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabonim? So that was the only subject. That was the latest subject of Rabbah. So Rabbah has to explain, obviously, both sides of the Shiloh. Why would one think it's deraisa? Why would one commit it possibly to being derabonim? So, if it's deraisa, what possible source could there be for it? Deraisa, mide dahava amotze aveda. It must be, if it's true, we're not sure, but if it's true that Yush is coined by gezela deraisa, and that means you don't have to return the object itself, just pay the kiesh shasa gezela, the only possible source of chumash would be a comparison, a mematzinu, a derivation from hashavas aveda. Motzi Aveda, everybody knows, every kid who ever learned the Matzias in 7th grade knows that Motzi Aveda laugh came to the Miyash Marmina. We all know that if the owner gives up hope of ever finding the absent, if I lost my wallet and I gave up hope, why would I give up hope? I say, I don't have a simon on it, I have no way of ever thinking it's going to come back to me. So once I give up hope, Mekami the taste of the other, and now the guy picks it up post-Yush, Konile, he does not have to return it. That's the opening mission of the Matzias. The first mission in the second paragraph of Matzias says, the following lost objects you have to announce, and the following you get to keep. And the mission gives you 20 examples of one and 20 examples of the other. The examples don't concern us right now. There's one principle alone. Namely, yes Yush or no Yush. Can I assume that the owner would be Mishyash or not? The Mishnah just gives you different examples. Sometimes you are Mishyash, sometimes you're not. What factors go into whether you're Mishyash? Is there a simon? Is it a davar choshuv? Is it worth it to me? A lot of factors psychologically go into whether I will or not be mizayish. But push comes to shove, the only fact that really matters is yes yush or no yush. So comes the Gemara says everybody knows that yush is kind of aveda. So maybe you can argue if it's kind of aveda, maybe it's kind of by gazela as well. Maybe that would be the only possible derivation for yush kind of. So hainami came to be hashmar kanila. Abakari, that would be a source that Yush is calling me the Raisa. Oh, Dilma, or maybe Rabbi says, you know, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the derivation is not correct. Lodami Ali Aveda, maybe Gezel and Aveda are radically different from them. We have a general rule. You want to derive A from B, that's nice if A and B are in the same basic league. But here, A and B are so different from one another. What's the difference? Aveda, who the Chiasa, the other, Beteras, the other. By Aveda, when I pick up the Aveda, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm allowed to pick up an Aveda. That's okay. Whereas if Alhai came to be Surah of the other day, maybe by Gezela, since I picked it up, Yisr, I stole it from the person, so it has those magic words, be Surah of the other day against me, maybe that prevents Minat Torah, the comparison to Aveda. Aye, but Rabbi says, but we all know that Yush is going there. We have to fall back and say, but the Rabban knew the Omer, Rabban and Nikir, Shibre, Beta Kanas Hashomim. It must be that Yush is kind of maybe only Midir Rabbanim. Why would Chazal have changed the Din Derai? So what was their agenda to do so? So we already know that Chazal tried to make it easy for Ganavim. Not to make it easy for people to steal, but easy for people to be Chayzim B'tshuva. Because even though in the Torah, you have to mamish give the item back itself. And you know, you weren't kind of in Yush, Shazlamalav, Lomayri B'na Torah. If you're going to insist that the Gazan has to give back mamish the item itself, he's going to think 100 times before being Chayzim B'tshuva. It's a good incentive to tell him, listen, we're going to let you keep the item. The other guy already gave up. The other guy doesn't even want it anymore. He gave up hope. He's moved on to something else. Just give him the cash and finish. If we insist on returning the item itself, what's going to happen? He won't come forward in the first place. He's never going to be chazal b'tshuva first, and the guy will never get his money back either. So it's in the best interest of everybody. Let's encourage him. We'll loosen the standards, lower the standards a little bit. Let him get away with merely paying cash, even though minatar, it's not true. Minatar, he has to return the item itself. So Rabbah wasn't sure. So Rabbah was convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt Yush is koine. That was never related to something. It wasn't even on Rabbah's radio screen that it's not koine. He's just not sure what Derai said Derabbanan. For Rav Yosef Amar, the Sugya ends, Yush had a koine, but filled with Derabbanan.
Rav Yosef says Rav is right about the first thing, that's not kodem minat Torah, and he's wrong about the second thing. It's not even kodem. It's not kodem. Yush is not kodem. So now
even
we have
for Aveda.
No, Aveda came. That's a given. That's a given. So we have just developed on the Sama Vavam Dalef are three possibilities. Either Yush is kodem midaraisa, similar to Aveda. Yush is kodem midrabbanan because it's not similar to Aveda, but Nebuch we have to institute takanas hashavim. Or possibly number three is that it's not similar to Aveda, and we're not particularly interested in instituting the Hashem for this, and therefore we follow the Dirais. It's not going to occur at all. Not Midirais, not Midirabon. Three possibilities. So Rashi already jumped. Rashi and Sukkah. Rashi and Sukkah, the Flamid, make quite a statement. Rabbi says, and by the way, when the Gemara says, how do you know Mitzvah of Aveda is a problem? Because Vavesim Gozel, why is it possible post Yush? Doesn't everybody know that Yush is going to? Rashi says, I am Rav Kama. Yeah, everyone knows that. Everyone, not everybody knows that. Half the page of the Gemara didn't know that. So what did Rashi mean with that statement? Did Rashi mean to commit this sugya to Rava? Clearly it's not Rav Yosef talking. There's no question Rav Yosef's not on the page in Sukkah Daf Lamed. But I'll ask you a question, Rabbi Isai. Can you even read the Gemara in Sukkah through the eyes of Rava? Even according to Rabbah, does the Gemara and Sukkah make any sense? The Gemara is asking a posuk, how do you know Mitzvah B'Aveira? What do you mean? Why doesn't Yush do the trick? After all, how can it be Yush? Then you see from here the Mitzvah B'Aveira. Stop, what is that? Yush does the trick, and what level does Yush do the trick? According to Rabbah. Rabbah himself is not even sure on what level does the trick. So if you're going to play the game and say that it does a trick with deraisa, that Yush is really a kid in deraisa, it's not going to derive from a vein, if that's all true, then the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed reads like a charm. How can you be Yush? Rav Yosef is out of the picture. He's not even being Messiah's too. And Rabbah's first sad is right. How can you be Yush? Derive from a vein. It's the same as a vein. Don't give me any chilukim. How can you be Yush? It's not a wise apostle. Mikem, it's yours. Zabim, you see from here, it's above a vein. But wait a second. What if the other version of Rav is right?
It's only Durabanan.
It's only Durabanan. How does that impact on our Gemara? We have to play each side, each possibility. Rav Yosef can't even appear in the Sugya in Sukkah. He's out of the Sugya entirely. He's rejected entirely. But I'm not even sure that Rav makes any sense. If Rav is the Raisa-Dika person, then I got it. If Rav is a Durabanan-Dika person, does the Gemara in Sukkah make any sense? What do you think that depends on? Depends how serious you take this Rasha. If you think the Gemara is actually a real din deraisa, so then all the mechanics of that drasha have to be deraisa. All the assumptions of that drasha have to be deraisa. If you want to prove something, I don't know, it's probably more of your field, definitely than mine, but you want to prove some mathematical proof of something, so every step along the way has to be true. So if you're trying to prove something in the world of deraisas, every step of that proof has to meet the standards of deraistic proof. So if you're going to tell me a story that I'm trying to prove Mitzvah Aveda Deraisa and I'm invoking a svara, a part of the proof that's only Derabanan, that's ridiculous. That's breaking the ABCs. How can you bring that as a proof? So you have to conclude one of two things. Either you have to conclude that the Gemara in Sukkah is very, very comfortable assuming Rabba is right and he's right with Deraisa, or there's only one other thing you can assume, that Mitzvah Aveda maybe is only Derabanan anyway. Maybe the standard of proof that we need is not a deraisa standard of proof. We're not even talking deraisa. The whole thing is a game. The whole thing is an asmach. The whole thing is derabanan anyway. Derabanan, we can say whatever we want. So we just took this Gemara in Bava Kamma that Rashi told us to look at. I don't know. Rashi referenced these sugyas. Rashi says, look at Beg Maruba. Either Samach Vav, Samach Ches, whichever combination of sugyas Rashi was referencing. We have a bunch of Gemaras that are talking about Yush, and we developed three different possibilities, and now we realize, now wait a second. Out of all the different possibilities, one of them bechlal doesn't work. Yosef's bechlal doesn't work. Not even a shaila. Not even a havamina. Does Rava work? Maybe. We're not sure. It's fake, but maybe it works. Maybe if Rava holds their ice, it works. If he holds their abundant, maybe it'll work. If he chopped down the above there to be their abundant. So that is not exactly. We're not exactly standing straight on 2 feet right now. This to Russia, that all of its Mitzvah is hinging upon, is very, very shaky, to say the least.
Does Rav Yochanan commend himself?
Okay. Because, of course, we're 10 steps ahead. So maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. We're only looking at Samach Vav. See, I cheated a little bit, only because I don't know what Daf Rashi was referencing. Rashi just says, look in Merubah. You know, the printer put in Daf Samaches. So the truth is, the printer was right. It is discussed on Daf Samaches. And it's not 100% clear what everybody holds on Daf Samaches. And one of the major players in the continuation of the sugya happens to be Rabbi Yochanan. And it's not even 100% sure who's holding what. But Rabbi Say, there's one very, very different way out of the sugya. And instead of getting involved in getting into details, is Rabbi holding, is Rabbi Yosef holding, is Rabbi Yochanan holding, is Ula holding, everybody has what to say about the topic. There's a very, very simple solution to the problem on the flamen. It's not my solution, it's Tosa's solution. Take a look at Tosas. Tosas Hakanya Biyush. So Tosas starts to show you Rabbi Yochanan. He digs up Rabbi Yochanan, who says that he claims Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yush is not Koina. If you take a look at the Tosas Hakanya Biyush, it's the fifth line, the end of the fourth line of Tosas. V'yesh Svarim, that's the end of the line. When the Gemara was formulating the proof, there must be a concept of Mitzvah Vera. So Gemara says, after all, why does the Navi describe an irreversible psul? Bishlama before Yush, I understand. Why is it possible after Yush? Hakanye. So our next word in that text of the Gemara was Hakanye B'Yush. But Tosfos says there was an equally valid Girs out there that didn't have the word B'Yush. So if it didn't have the word Yush, what was the Kenyan? Tosfos continues.
It changed.
Oh, so Tosfos continues. Now, Filo Garcinan B'Yush. And even if you stick, you don't want to erase that word. Yesh Lefarish Nahakikomer. Hakanye. I say the next phrase quickly. B'Yush V'Shini Hashem. There's more than just Yush that just took place, by saying. I stole a chulundika animal, and you're Messiah from it. So if you have the gears that kind of be yush, and you think yush means yush alone, that means once yush happens, it's a done deal. I was kona the animal at that point of yush. Says Tosfos, there's another possibility. You know what the other possibility is? Hakanya be yush vishini Hashem. Namely, there's a sugya in Baba Kama, we're going to talk about a lot as the sugyas develop, that suggests that even if yush is not koina, but if the owner is Messiah, and you then do something that changes the name of the item, almost smacks a little bit like a shinoi. If people now call it something else, a half-baked yush and a half-baked shinoi Hashem could combine together to be a kinyan as well. And that's exactly what you have here. It used to be called chulin, and now it's called, believe it or not, a carbon, hektish, a makdish. So the owner was Messiah, I was makdish. Yush is not koine, but Yush plus Shinoi Hashem may very well be koine. So says Tosfos, that's what the Gemara meant here. Now, it fits much smoother if you don't have the words Hakanye B'Yush, if you just have the word Hakanye, so then the Gemara is not committing itself to what the Maaseh Kinyan was. So the Maaseh Kinyan may have been the Yush plus. And Tosfos fetches, even if you have the word Hakanye B'Yush, Hakanye B'Yush V'Chuvay. It's like Yush plus, whatever you need to supplement the Yush, Ayush and Shinoi Hashem. So we see how Tosfos was so bothered with Akash. Tosfos opened up Merubah and said, wait a second, 95% of the people out there won't be able to read this Gemara. So Tosfos says, yeah, you're right. This Gemara doesn't read smoothly. It really means Yesh Shinoi Hashem, don't bother me, I can't. So we have two different approaches in the Rishonim. What is the background to Mitzvah Aveira? What got the Drasha going in the first place? Was it an ironclad commitment to Yush being Koine? Or was it a little bit of a half-baked commitment to Yush, plus other things possibly maybe combining together?
Is Shinoi Hashem alone Koneh?
No. Maybe. I'm afraid. I said it and then took the Hebrew. I don't want to commit myself.
And changing wood to a table, that's not
Shinoi. That's a Shinoi Maiseh.
Right, okay.
That's more than Shinoi Hashem.
What would be the Shinoi Hashem with a lulav?
Wait, we got a while to go. We have to get the Flamen Rebbe for that one. So if I say, let's just, if we can make a list of concepts that we've just began to explore, concepts that we have absolutely no idea what we're talking about. We're throwing around terms, and yet there's so much vague. Let's just backtrack for a minute. We're talking about details, should be details. Is Yish going to be Gazela? Is Yish and Shinoi Hashem going to be Gazela? All of them. Let's go back like the Gemara told us. Who introduced into Torah this concept of Yish? Where is the Yish in the Chumash? Where did the Gemara pick up on? Where did the Gemara say Baba Kama, the Son of Love? It all emanates from where? It all stems back from Hashem Saveda. Hashem Saveda is the starting point. And now we're trying to figure out, should we derive Gezela from Aveda or not? Because they're similar, but different. They're similar because in both cases, the object's out of the owner's Rishos. On the other hand, they're different. One was Be'isa, one was Beheter. So we're pumping with the details, should we derive or not? I want to go back 10 steps before that. How do you know that Yush works by Aveda? I'm going to challenge the Gemara. I'm going to challenge Rabbah. How can I even begin to have an intelligent discussion about whether Yush should be kind of by Gezela if I have no idea why Yush is kind of by Aveda? So the Sugya doesn't begin in Bava Kamadav Stav Avav. The Sugya really begins in El Metzia Shalai. You can't even begin to discuss Masechah Sukkah Mitzvah Be'Aveira without learning Yush Be'Aveda, because Sukkah and Daf Lamed ultimately hinges upon what your take on Yush Be'Gezela is, which ultimately hinges upon what you take as a Yush Be'Aveda. So we have to go take two steps back in the Sugya, forget learning Bava Kamadav Stav Avav, go back to Bava Metzia Daf Chaf Aleph, to figure out why Tacha Yush Be'Aveda works. Don't go back too fast because we're still going to be on Tzav Avav for a second. So why is Yush work Be'Aveda? Then once we can figure out why it does, then we can maybe make sense out of this Gemara Tzav Avav where we should or should not carry it over. Why is Yisuros Liyadeh an important factor? But why is that even part of the discussion? Is it a good derivation, not a good derivation? And then there's another concept that totally took us by surprise. Tosfos just referenced Gemaras that say Yush is not kinda. Oh, but Yush and Shiri Hashem. Well, good morning, that's kinda. Really? Where did that come from? Where did that hit us like a ton of bread? Where did that come from? We have a cloud gadol. It's called 0 + 0 = 0. If Yush doesn't work and Shiri Hashem presumably doesn't work, what kind of combination? Hocus pocus, a chulent, and the two are kind of together. And according to Tosfos, it's that combination that's the source of its above Yavera. That's the Hakanye of Sukkah Daf Lamed. So needless to say, Sukkah Daf Lamed cannot be learned in a vacuum. We can't learn Sukkah Daf Lamed without getting the ABCs, what Yush is by Aveda, what Yush is or is not by Gezela, what Yush and Shin Yashem is all about. So we have a lot of work cut out for us, but that's going to at least set the stage for us. We're going to try to accomplish, hopefully, if this Sukkah is going to lead us into some other discussions as well. Let's go back to the beginning, but don't yet close the comments of Bechrov. Because Rashi has a critical comment in Bava Kamadav Stav Avav Amud Aleph about the very source of Yush, and it's very, very source, then all the way back to Aveda. So Rashi, on Stav Avav Amud Aleph, Divrei Maschil, Motzi Aveda. Motzi, it's about two-thirds of the way down. First one line is the Dayo. The Rashi Divrei Maschil is Motzi Aveda. Motzi Aveda Lav Kev the Yayish Lebar Mekamei the Taste Liyade Kanile. Im Nisyayishu Ma'ala. Rashi is just describing to you what the seventh graders learn. Im Nisyayishu Ma'ala. Im Nisyayishu Ma'ala. If the owner gave up hope, Kodim Shematzazeh. Before this fellow finds it, so but I'm walking in the street and all of a sudden I see an item that I know for a fact the owner must have been Nisyayishu already from. How do I know that? So that's Elamatiyas, to figure out. There's the Vesimis, the Chosh, whatever the factors are. So Kona, if I pick it up, I'm Kona, I do not have to return it. This is not Chayav L'Hachris, Harei Elu Shaloi. I'm allowed to keep it, not a question whatsoever. And this is clearly a diminutive. This is not even a Shaila of Din Deraisa, because we're trying to extrapolate from there to Gezela, but by Aved, it's for sure Din Deraisa. And Rashi now proceeds to tell you what he thinks the source for this Din Deraisa is. The Sanya be Elamitzias. It's a Beferish Brisa in Elamitzias. Just in case you don't remember this Brisa from 7th grade, don't feel bad, because the Brisa doesn't exist. But well, let's read the way Rashi tells it. The Sanya. Bitar be Elamitzias. Minayim li Aveda shishat for Nohar. How do you know that if there's a lost item that was taken over by the river? It means the river came and picks up the guy's house and brings us his furniture. His couch is floating downstream, shut for nar. How do you know that I don't have to bother? If I find it down the Mississippi, 100 miles down, I don't have to go run up the Mississippi to return it to him. How do you know? Ho, v'nisyai shua b'aylim, shibuteris lo. Because after all, obviously when the river overflowed, no guy of a sugar who thinks he's ever going to get that couch back again. It's 50 miles away. So how do you know that you're not mechuyif to go run and bring him the couch back? Tabad Lime is a pasuk. Asher tovad mimenu, sha'avud mimenu umetzuyu l'shar b'nei adam. The Torah describes Hashem Saved in a very, very strange way. The Torah says, return the fellow's lost shore, Anything and everything the fellow loses, return it to him. And then the Torah adds a phrase. I already know it's an Aveda. Asher toivad mimenu mitzasa. It's a lost object that he lost. It's like a gzeil shagazo. It means it's a lost object that he lost. Obviously, it's a lost object that he lost. So what does it mean? Ashetor menu, sha'avudu mimenu. It's a drush. The emphasis is on, it's something that he lost. It's not something that's an outright, objective, gone, goodbye history. It means never. He dropped his wallet, but 100 other people see the wallet. That's Hashem Saveda. That you have to return. Yotz Tazu, coming to exclude something that is so lost that it's just gone goodbye. It's out to sea. It's down the Mississippi. Something which is so lost. Avudim kol adam. There's no mitzvah of Hashem Saveda on. Al-Makadi. So then you see from that derush of the Toiva the Menu that the Torah is being excluding the parsha of Shofanar from the regular din of Hashem Saveda. You see from here that Yush must be kodesh. And now Nebuch the Gemara just has a suffix. Vachal b'gzeila is gzeila the same as Aveda now. So Rashi just committed himself to the source for Yush. Everything starts with the sugi, what's called Shofanar. That is the ultimate source for the whole parsha of Yush by Aveda. And if it exists by gzeila, there is by gzeila by extension. Is that the source? With Chechov and Rashi's occurs. So let's take a look. At multiple times in Elam Metzias, where the Gemara makes reference to this sugya of things that are so lost, so far gone. Let's take a look. And we'll go the first time that it actually makes its appearance in the Gemara. We'll start with Chaf Aleph. So the last word of Chafal from now, hopefully bring back nice memories from my youth, Itmar, the following discussion. Top of that Chafal from the days, you shall be das. Where I raise the following question, that Reuben lost something, and he hasn't yet been misyayish from it. You know why he hasn't been misyayish from it?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know he lost it. And Shimon walks by and sees it. And wants to know, Rabbi, can I pick it up and keep it or not? So Abaye Amalavi Yush. Abaye says, that's not called Yush. And therefore, if and when you choose to pick it up, you're actually supposed to pick it up, what do you have to do at that point? You become a Chuyv and Ritzim Hashem HaSaveda. But Rabbi Amalavi Yush. The Rabbi says, no, that is called Yush. And therefore, at that point that I picked it up, I have a right to keep it. I'm not a Chuyv to return. I'm a Chuyv to announce it. So the Gemara qualifies this machlekes. B'dava she'esh bo simen. If the item has a simen on it, and the other fellow doesn't even know he lost it yet, kuli hamla plikid lo b'yush. He says, that's not a yush yet, because mistumble, what's going to happen?
He's going to look for it.
He's probably going to look for it. He's going to ask around for it. He's going to put it in the paper. He's going to try to find it. It's not going to be misyayish. So I can't pick it up now. I'll smach that when he finds out he's going to be misyayish. It's not true. It's partially not true. The afagav the shemini the miyash, and even if subsequently down the line in 6 months from now he gives up hope, l'sof lo habiyush chiyos liyad b'isur liyos liyaday. If I picked it up and the fellow was not misyayish yet because he didn't even know about it yet and had a simin, and I became a chayiv and Hashem Saveda, even if he subsequently misyayish, it's not going to help. I bechuyv and Hashem Saveda, I still have to give it back. Chiyada the nafu minei lamiyash, because if it has a simin, why would I assume he's going to be misyayish? Meimar Rami is going to say, Siman is to be gavei. I have a Siman, you have a Siman, I'll give the Siman, shakyon Allah. So the Gemara says, that is not the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava could not have been arguing about something that has a Siman, because that it's not even Yush Lomidas, that's enough. What's on the other total extreme, other end of the spectrum? V'zuta shel yam u'shlum v'isa shel nohar. If something is lost because there was a tsunami, the ocean swept it away, the river swept it away. What is that a description of? Rashi Shafanahar. That's exactly what Shafanahar is. Says the Gemara, a startling statement. Afagav the Ispe Sibid, Rachman Ashariye, Kibir Lamim Lakama. It doesn't matter whether there is a Simon or no Simon. You're allowed to take it. You're allowed to keep it. And Abaye and Rava's Machloikis is irrelevant. Why is it irrelevant? Why is Abaye and Rava's machlokes irrelevant? The guy doesn't know that he lost it. So according to Abaye, if you don't know, you want Misyadisha, what's the answer? What's clear for the Gemara? That you don't need Yush to be Matar. Zuto Shayam, Shlis Shana, Shutfa Nahar is a separate independent Matir. That you're allowed to keep it, even if the fellow was not Misyadish. Abaye and Rav are fighting about a regular Veda that's sitting on the floor that the guy doesn't know about, so he hasn't been Misyadish yet. So Rav is willing to live in a world of the Mafreya. Once he finds out, then we view as the Yush as being a Mafreya. Abaye says nothing doing. But by Zuto Shayam, by Shot Fenohar, the Gemara says, that's going to work L'chol HaDayis. Why is it going to work? But there's no Yush yet. What's the answer? Because you don't need Yush. Zuto Shayam doesn't need Yush, Bechla. So what was the Machlekes of Abaye and Rav? The Gemara continues. Keep pligi. B'dov she'ein lo simen. The Machlekes was, Reuven lost something without a simen. Abaye Allah, Abaye have a Yush. The Halal Yadadah for Minei. At the time that I want to pick it up, the guy was not Misyayish yet, because he doesn't know about it. Ravam Aviyush, the Chiyadid enough of Minei Miyayish. Me'ma'ama Siman Aleis Vigavei Mehashud Miyayish. So it's a very lumdish machlek as Abaye and Rav about the world of the Mafreya or not. Abaye refused to have Yush work the Mafreya, and Rav says, yes, okay, Yush does work the Mafreya. A lumdish machlek is. But what case is not relevant to this machlek is clear as day in the Gemara? Zut Shayam, Shafinar, Shalishanah. It's not relevant. Why is it not relevant? Because the Gemara said the Farish that it doesn't matter whether the person is yelling and screaming that he wants his Aveda back. It's Zuta Shayam, Shafanar. It's finished, doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what the person is saying. Yush is completely irrelevant. So how does Rashi explain this? How does Rashi address this again? The Gemara says, Pembole, that the Machleg Zibayin Rabba, about the Daz and Yishlam Afreya, has absolutely zero significance in Shafanar. According to Rashi, Shafanar is the Mokka for Yush. How can it be the Mokka of Yush? If it works, he would have a Yush. This is not my cash. There's Shedden jumping Rashi.
Well, Rashi's case is like he had Yish before he made the Kenyan. Right, Rashi says specifically that he had Yesh and then you found it and you're going ahead.
Correct, so, but what's Rashi's source? Rashi is taken out of the Gemara. Let me see. The Gemara says the order is critical. But Rashi says, and the whole source for the entire parasha of the Gemara is from Shafanar. But in the case of Shafanar, you don't even need Yush. So how could that serve as the source for Yush? Kind of.
Well, because you could say that the logic for Shatvinar is that it's sort of like an absolute.
So come to Rishonim and say that Dvar says the stomach of Rashi is driving out as follows. That you're right, practically, was there really Yush by Shatvinar? Lamaisa? I'm not sure. I don't know. It could be. It's possible that the guy was screaming and yelling, he's talking about Misyash. But it's almost like a lo plug deraisa. It's like the Torah is saying, Shafanar is a model case of Yush. 99% of the time, if you're watching the Mississippi, take your couch downstream, you're not running down to Missouri to go get it. I mean, most of the time, people are Misyayish on it. It's true, every once in a blue moon, you'll have one guy who's Meshuggah who's running after the couch. It's possible to scream right out. The Torah was Geyser, the Afa Pichain. It's Ke'ilu. Ke'ilu Ha'isi Misyayish. That's it. But bottom line, says the Ritva, even though practically you don't really need Yush, it can serve, this case, as strange as it may sound, this case can serve as the source for Yush, even though you don't really need Yush in this case. As strange, as bizarre as that sounds, but it makes a lot of sense. Because Shafanar is rooted in Yush. Adi Rishonim was so bothered with this Kasha that Adi Rishonim said, you know, there's got to be another Mokar. What's the other Mokar? So they turned the Elmud Tzias upside down, right side up, to try to find a Pasuk. Some Rishonim came up with a Pasuk, and some Rishonim threw their hands up and says, we're not sure, but it's a Svara, some other Mokar. But Rashi's shot is, at first glance, is very, very difficult, because he pins all our hopes on a Pasuk that actually works without Yush, but the lumdus of Shafanar is not a Yush that could do. But Rabbi said, but it's still a very, very big problem. A very, very big problem, because if you're going to tell me that Shafanar is rooted in almost like an objective Yush, it's like an ilu Yush took place, there's still a huge problem. Because as was pointed out before, the order was very, very important. In Hashavas Aveda, what must happen first? The Gemara said, we just read this Gemara Beferish, that let's say, for example, you lose something which has a siman on it. You lost a wallet with your name on it. And I pick it up, I'm holding on to it, and then now later I hear being Misyayish. What's the din? I returned it because I picked it up before you were Misyayish. The Yush is critical, has to proceed. Belishim Safik, the Yush has to proceed. By Shatfad Nahor, the quote unquote Yush, which is the objective Yush, the Loplug Yush, whatever it is what? Is not necessarily proceeding. How do I know that? Because what did the Gemara just say? Shafano works even if the fellow doesn't even know that it was Shafano. Even according to who? Even according to Abaye, who says we don't go Lemafre with Yush. Abaye says there's no such thing as a Yush Lemafre. Rabbi says there's a thing called Yush Lemafre. But Abaye says there's no such animal called Yush Lemafre. The timeline is exactly how it presents the Metzius. So you want to tell me that Shafanar is like Ki'ilu, like a low plug, like where Hatar Yard himself died of, so to speak. Like Ki'ilu, he was Mishayish. Okay, I give him a kabbalah. But he was Mishayish when? He's Mishayish when he finds out about it. So how does the Gemara happen both ways? How can the Gemara say that Shafanar, Rashi's telling us, that's the mokar par excellence, this is the ultimate Yush, and we touched up the rough edges and said, even though this guy was Mishayish, that's okay, low plug, Hatar Yard, and call it a day. But wait a second, but it's out of order. Because the Gemara says, Pem Olay on Chafal from Beis, that if by a regular Aveda the order is critical, and by Shafanah it's not so critical, all of a sudden I'm involved in that. How does that work?
Because you can say that what's going on here is at what point does the object, the Chetza, go into a state of Yish?
Oh.
And it could go into a state of Yish, Mideraisa, when objectively speaking, he should have been Miayish, and then at that point, it goes into it, okay. Or when he's actually me.
Okay. So you're almost opening up the possibility that the Yush of Shafanar is not just that it may or may not happen, it may be almost like a different kind of a Yush. There's a little bit of a problem with that. The problem is that the more we take it out of the regular realm of Yush, the less it becomes a viable source
for
the regular of Yush. So as it is, we're teetering over the edge here. As it is, we already took it out of the regular rules of Yush. We said, it's the source for Yush. Don't tell them, even though the guy was Mishayish. He said, oh yeah, let's keep Yush. Why don't you tell me that this Yush is a radically different kind of Yush, then I'm getting nervous if it's serving as a source. So we have a big problem. We have a huge problem. We cannot learn Sukkah Daf Lamed to figure out how in the world we know anything of the Pasuk Malachi about Mitzvah Bagavera until we figure out how Yush works or doesn't work by Gazela. And we can't even get to the batter's box to understand Yush by Gazela if we don't even understand Yush by Aveda. And how in the world we can understand how it works if we don't understand where it comes from? So we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems here. So hopefully Mitzvah will have some solutions in the Shurim.
Isn't it also
Dinin
Kinyanin though? What's the Kinyan?
Yeah, okay, that's going to be part of what Yush is doing is not doing. We have a lot of work out for us. Okay, just in terms of the.